Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, What Did Jesus Mean? Blessed Are the Meek.
God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. We're continuing our sermon series today on Jesus' sermon called the Beatitudes. It's also called, as you know, the Sermon on the Mount because Jesus preached it on a mountain. And so today we're going to take a look at the third of the Beatitudes. And so let's ascend the slopes again with Jesus. Leave those lower valleys behind. Ascend up into the place where the rocky outcroppings are amongst the little tufts of grass and the upper mountaintop reaches and in the cooler airs of the higher places, and sit down there with Jesus on the mount and hear what he has to teach us about the kingdom of heaven and about the kingdom of God. So let's pick it up in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, and then we're going to jump over to verse 5, the third beatitude. We read there, "Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying," verse 5, the third beatitude, he said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So what's Jesus talking about here? What's he meaning to teach us? What's his aim? What is he teaching us about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, the first thing, as we said last week and the other two Beatitudes, is that Jesus is declaring a blessing here, obviously. Amen? He says, blessed are the meek. The word in the Greek for blessed, you already know probably by now, it's makarios, which means blessed. Happy and joyful are you when you are meek. And so the kingdom of God, he's really saying here, belongs to the meek, and I will give it to them. The meek. So that's obvious. Blessed, happy, and joyful are you when you are meek. Blessed are the meek of the world, the earth. But the second part of this, the next point, is maybe not quite as obvious. What does it mean to be meek? What is he talking about here? Well, I think we've got to start out as Americans and English speakers to correct a misunderstanding of the word meek. Because what do you think of when I say the word meek? Usually we think meek and weak. I mean, the two words even rhyme, right? Don't you think of that? Meek is weak. Is that what Jesus is saying? Blessed are the weak of the earth? No. Meek doesn't mean weak. You know, in English, we always say that and think that way because if we say, oh, that guy over there, he's someone who's meek, we think, you know, he can't stand up for himself. He's weak. He can't stand up and fight against an enemy. He can't handle adversity. He'll be overcome because he's weak. He's meek. In other words, what does it mean in our English way of looking at it? That he's a pushover. He's a softy. He's, in a word, a wimp. Is that what Jesus means? Blessed are the wimps of the world that have no spirit of courage and fortitude and can't stand up to fight against evil and win. And I give the kingdom and they will inherit the world. Is that what he means? Obviously, no. So the first thing we got to get out of our mind is meek does not equal weak as we often think in English. How can I prove it to you that meek does not equal weak? Well, consider the examples in the Bible of the people that were meek. Were they weak? Who's the meekest of all in the Old Testament? We read over here in the book of Numbers 12. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all men that were on the face of the earth. Nobody greater than him. He was number one in the world, the most meek man, the meekest on the earth. Was he a pushover? Alice, would you say? Was he a wimp? Was he someone that had no spirit of courage and fortitude to stand against evil? I mean, if you think of it, he was the bravest man on the earth. No one braver than him in those days, than he. Got to get the right English there. You think of him. Nobody else dared stand up against Pharaoh in those days, that great wicked villain, that tyrant of a man, but Moses alone. He went forth and with steely eyes said to Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, let my people go." Obviously, meek does not equal weak. He is the champion, and he won the day. We read that he left Egypt in the book of Hebrews, not being afraid of the anger of the king. Everybody else was afraid, not Moses, the meekest of the earth. Courage was his, and so obviously meek doesn't equal weak. Amen? Look at Paul in the New Testament. He was the meekest of all the apostles. He says, "I'm the least of the apostles," in 1 Corinthians 15. "Unfit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." Art, was Paul, as the meekest of the apostles, was he weak, would you say? No, he was the most courageous of them all. I mean, if ever Jesus' gospel was on the line, he was the first man into the fray. And he, with amazing courage, went and proclaimed Christ even before kings and governors and riotous, murderous crowds who wanted to kill him. So, obviously, meek doesn't mean weak. In fact, you find the meekest are often the one with the greatest courage. And the best example of all would be Jesus, our Lord and King. What did we just sing of him a moment ago? We read and sang, "Ride on, ride on in majesty. Hark all the tribes, Hosanna cry. O Savior, meek, pursue thy road. With palms and scattered garments strode." So he was the meekest ever, Jesus our King. And he called to guilt-laden sinners with these words, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. For I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." But was he weak, would you say, Joy? There was nobody braver and courageous in the strength of spirit than our Lord. He commanded the stormy seas, "Peace, be still," and they obeyed his word of power. He went up against the religious leaders and authorities of his day, and he called them, "You brood of vipers." This guy is obviously not weak, though being meek. He went up against the crowds that rejected him. "Woe to you! It'll be more tolerable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you," he preached. And against that greatest villain of all, the prince of darkness, the devil, in the wilderness, who sought to tempt Jesus, Jesus roared back at him, "Be gone, devil, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." So have I made my point, would you say? Meek does not equal weak. I had to hit it several times because in English, it's the way we think. We've got to get that out of our minds. That's not what it means. In fact, on the contrary, we find by these examples that the meekest of the earth are often the strongest in courage, in fortitude, and in power. It's they alone we find standing against the enemy and against every adversity. When everyone else is fleeing, they're standing. And they are the true champions and victors of the earth, the meek. So meek can't mean weak. Get it out of your mind. We good? Go on to the next point? All right. So what does meek mean then? If it doesn't mean weak, it means something else, and mighty in meekness. Well, what does it mean to be meek? What's Jesus talking about here? Well, better to go to the Greek. The Greek word is praus, which means, Jesus is saying, blessed, happy, and joyful are those who are of a lowly heart. That's what it means. And it means to be kind and gentle, soft and tender, forbearing others with patience, enduring hardships with strength, and especially it means simply this, to be humble. That's a meek heart. It's to have a heart, in other words, like the heart of Christ, who, though mighty, was humble and lowly, kind, soft, and good, and tender to save us, right? And so, what is the opposite of meek? It means, well, to have an overblown ego. A super overestimate of yourself, an inflated sense of your pride and how great you are. It's to exalt yourself in a haughty, arrogant, condescending way, and also to do it in a savage and fierce way to be number one. That's the opposite of meek, which means kind, gentle. The opposite is savage and fierce. It's to be of a humble, lowly heart, not prideful and full of yourself and overblown. So Jesus says, blessed, happy, and joyful are you when you are of this lowly, gentle heart. That's what I love in my kingdom. And if you want to think of it, I picture a picture I saw some years ago of a United States soldier, which I thought really pictured meekness. He was in Iraq. You could see he was fresh from the battlefields. In fact, kind of still in the battlefield. And he was wearing his helmet. He was in his fatigues. He had his gun slung over his shoulder. His face was still charred with the explosion of a bomb that had gone off, with the gunpowder and charring on his face, very dirty. And he was down on one knee before a little poor child crying in that country, gently and tenderly wiping the tear off the child's face on a bended knee. That's the picture, really, I think, of meekness. It's strength under power, getting down on one knee with a soft, gentle, tender heart, a warrior champion coming to serve with all lowliness of spirit. So, are you meek? Is this what God has called us to? Indeed. So, what does Jesus say, though? To such as have a heart like this, blessed are the meek, for they shall do what? Inherit the earth. Think about the grandeur and the scope, the magnitude of that promise to those who have this kind of a heart. To you belongs my kingdom. My kingdom belongs to me, and I give it to whom I will. I give it to the meek of the earth. That is, I shall. This is a future promise. This is good stuff, isn't it? So, what else do we notice here at that is that this is the opposite of the world and the people of the world and the way the world works, isn't it? Because if you're in the world, they're not going to try to inherit the land, gain the earth, get possessions for themselves by going meek, but which way? The prideful way, exalting the self, overblowing yourself, and doing it with savage and fierce means. For example, consider in history the great military commanders of ancient times. You look at Alexander the Great of Greece. Remember him? Was he a nice guy? Soft, humble, gentle, meek? No, he went after a superinflated ego to destroy the world through his savage and fierce ways. You look at Napoleon of France or Hitler of Nazi Germany. These weren't meek people. But what were they trying to do? Inherit the earth, gain the land, snatch possessions of what they could here of empires in this age and in this life by savage and fierce means with a super inflated ego. It's the opposite of what Jesus is saying here in this beatitude. Not just the military commanders, but look at the government officials of our day, some of the rulers of our age. Not all of them, some are good, but a lot of them, huge egos. Big, inflated senses of self, overestimating themselves, willing to make back door deals with evil people to gain advantage, to do what? To make sure that they can get million-dollar homes in fancy places of the world by crafty means. That's the opposite. They're not going after meekness, but after pride. You could look at the great financiers and bankers of our world, the billionaires. In fact, let me ask you, Marion, who owns most of the world today? The billionaires, the financiers, the bankers. Not that they're all bad, but a lot of them. They're not going after meekness, but pride. And you will use savage and ruthless ways to obtain and inherit the earth. And indeed, much of it's in possession of them today. And frankly, truth be told, we'd all go the same way, wouldn't we? Unless we're born again and saved in Christ with any nature, well, frankly, we'd all exalt ourselves and go by savage and fierce means to acquire what we could, to snatch up real estate, to inherit the earth of our own pride. That was the first temptation to Adam and Eve, wasn't it? What was the temptation about? Meekness. Leave behind your meekness, O Adam and Eve, and exalt yourselves. Become your own gods, and you shall inherit the earth. was the promise, really, of the devil. And the devil, of course, is the king of pride and the originator of it. And so man fell and became corrupt and savage. We all have that corrupt nature inside of us. So to find what Jesus is talking about here, a meek person on the earth, oh, that's a rare bird indeed. And in fact, it's sort of like I pictured finding a precious pearl on a beach, which is strewn with slimy, disgusting rocks with seaweed and slime. To find a meek man on earth is like finding that unique silvery pearl. So we were all slimy rocks and seaweed. How do we then become meek? Well, God's got to do it, friends. Jesus has got to do it. And how does Jesus make us meek? Here's the answer. If you want to be meek, by his word coming to bear upon us. For what's pride? Pride is thinking more of yourself than you should, right? Super inflating yourself. Wrong estimation of who you are. What is meekness? Is it to think less of yourself than you should? No, that's not true. It's to think accurately of yourself as you should, according to the word of God. So let the word of God create in you a meek heart right now. What does God say to us? The first thing he says is, remember, I am God, and you are not. Right? He is spirit. We are just dust. He is the creator, and you're just the creation. Do you admit that? Then you would have a humble heart. You know, we all are under that old temptation to want to become our own gods that the devil gave to Adam and Eve. Look how when Job was trying to exalt himself and think, I'm in the right and God's in the wrong, remember that? God had to put him into his place and create a meek heart in him. Let the words of God to Job be words to you now. God says, Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determines its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Were you there, Job, in those days? Then what are you speaking against me for? Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place? Do you walk in the recesses of the deep? And have the gates of death been revealed to you? Do you know the way to the dwelling of light and where the place of darkness is? Then will I also acknowledge to you that your own right hand can give you victory. Are you humbled? You are dust. I'm dust. We're just dust. We're creations out of dust. To dust we return. God's the great creator. If you acknowledge that, you already have the beginnings of a meek heart. Praise God. This is a good thing. Simply to acknowledge who you really are before God by his word. But God's not done. He's got to make us even more meek than that. How so? He's got to bring to us his law and teach us, you are sinners. As it's written, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's not a righteous man on earth who does right, surely, and never sins, says the Lord. And all your righteous deeds, which you think are so great, they're but as filthy, polluted rags in my sight. Do you accept that? Say amen. Amen. You're sinners. I'm a sinner. This is a meek heart. It's a good thing to confess, as hard as it is to say, but it's a good thing. A meek heart admits sin. And thirdly, God then comes to us in his word, again to give you a right, accurate knowledge of yourself, to say, though you were a sinner, I sent my son Jesus to be your savior. Believe on him, receive his salvation as a free gift. And faith receives it. The meek heart receives Jesus as the Savior with all joy and now acknowledges with joy that, God, everything I have is from you. 100% grace as a free gift. Praise be to God and glory to Jesus forever. That is a meek heart. And if you arrive at that, guess what? You have the power of God residing in you. For meek is not weak. Meek is mighty. Mighty in what? Mighty in joy. Mighty in grace. Mighty in power. Mighty in salvation. Mighty knowing that God is your friend through Jesus who has saved you No wonder the meek of the earth are always the strongest and the most courageous, and they're winning every battle, and they're the champions of the earth, because God himself was with them as their friend to the meek of heart to give them the victory. So this is awesome stuff. And God's always making us even more meek after the image of our Savior, Jesus, the meekest of all, our King. So now, on to the next point here. Let's consider, what's the promise, though, of Jesus to the meek of the earth? What did he say again? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let's talk about inheritance for just a moment. In the Bible, we hear of God promising to Abraham and to his children, his seed, his descendants, lands, right? Remember this in the Old Testament? God said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I'll show you. And I'll make of you a great nation. I'll bless you. Make your name great so that you'll be a blessing. So Abram went as the Lord told him. He was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And he came to the promised land. And there God said to him in Israel, to your descendants, I will give this land. What does that mean? Inheritance, right? You don't have it now, but I promise in the future, I will give it you. So, what are we talking about here? We're talking about Israel, right? And that was that patch of real estate in the Middle East. You can go there today. Let me ask you, did Abraham possess that land while he was there in his lifetime? No. Who else possessed it at that time? Wicked, evil people who basically owned the land that he was to inherit as a promise, but he had to live with wicked people. In fact, so terrified was Abraham at one point that he's like, there's no fear of God in this place. And he lied to save his own life, thinking he needed to, because the wicked were in the land. They owned the land that he was to inherit. But did God give it to Abraham's descendants in the course of time? Yes, for the Lord said to Abram, know of a surety that your descendants will be sojourners in a land not theirs, Egypt, for 400 years. But I'll bring judgment on the nation they serve, and afterward they'll come out with great possessions, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation. For the iniquity, the sin of the Amorites is not yet complete. Did God bring them back? Dick, did God bring them back from Egypt to the promised land? Yes, he did in the course of time. And they came to inherit it in the days of Moses, and then especially Joshua. They escaped Egypt, came out with great treasures, and they came and inherited the land that God had promised to Abraham and to his descendants forever, and they possessed the land, their inheritance. What does that mean for you and me? What is our joyful expectation and hope in this beatitude of Jesus? That the promise to Abraham and to his descendants that they should inherit the land, God was not ultimately speaking about Israel. He did in a part, but are you going to inherit, Gwen, in the world to come, 263 miles of Israel, north and south, 71 miles east to west? Is that what God has in store for you? To the meek of the earth? The promise to Abraham and to his children, who are, by the way, everybody who believes in Christ as Abraham believed. That includes you, Christians. All true Christians, Jews, and Gentiles who believe in Christ are Abraham's children. You are his descendants. What is the inheritance promised to Abraham's children? The land. What land? Everything God owns. For the promise to Abraham, says Paul, and to his descendants that they should inherit the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of Christ. What, Kevin, was God's promise to Abraham concerning the land? What land are they going to inherit? The entire earth, the world, all things. This is the joyful promise of God to you. The cosmos is the word in the Greek, the entire earth. For God, friends, didn't spare his own son, Jesus, but he gave him up for us all. Will he not also, with Jesus, give you all things with him? And according to his promise, says Peter, we wait for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Do you have this inheritance yet, Nancy? It's promised to you. Who do you have to live on the earth now? Just like Abraham, wicked people who own the land. And we have to bear with them for a time. But what is God's promise? What's the joyful hope? You have to bear with these evil people for now. They own the land, but you're living in the land that you will inherit, and when I come on the clouds of heaven as king and returning, I, since the kingdom belongs to me, I own everything and I give it to you, to the meek of the earth. This shall be your inheritance, and you shall possess it with great possessions and treasures. So rejoice, for Psalm 37 says, the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall possess the land. Just a little while, and the wicked will be no more. You're going to look well at his place, and he won't be there. But the meek shall possess the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. Are you looking forward to this, friends? For with righteousness, Jesus will judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And the meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall exult in the Holy One of Israel. Friends, rejoice today. In a little while, not long, you will own the earth. God will gift it to you to share with him in the kingdom with joy and abundant prosperity forever through Jesus Christ, our King, who in all meekness, you know, came to us in the might of meekness to conquer at that cross sin, death, and the devil, to gift us and win for you in might a kingdom. And he will gift it to you at his return. And so rejoice therefore with me today in Jesus Christ our King, who said to you and to me, blessed are you, happy and joyful are you, meek of the earth, for you shall inherit the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, What Did Jesus Mean? Blessed Are the Meek. A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the former Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.